Hello, and I'm delighted to welcome you to IACCM's Optimism Cafe podcast. I'm Bruce Everett, the regional CEO for IACCM in Asia Pacific. And these Optimism Cafe podcasts were inspired partly by our resident optimist, Victor Perton, who some of you would know, but also by some of the stories that we were receiving from our members about what they were doing in their organisations and in their communities to make a difference during the time of COVID-19. And amongst all the content, all the different stories that you're hearing at the moment, we wanted to make these podcasts short, sharp, and interesting, and to share real life stories with you, which will hopefully be something that we can feel optimistic about. Today, I have the pleasure of having a conversation with Pratiksha Becker of South Australian Health. She's the head of their supplier relationship management unit. This is a great story of supplier relationship management because in the face of COVID-19, their supply chain for personal protective equipment like surgical masks, face visors, scrubs and so forth was really facing unprecedented demand. And there was only one Australian manufacturer of surgical masks, and it wasn't in South Australia. So they had a problem. Therefore, they had to work with local industry to build the capability to create surgical masks. So they went to the market and found actually one of their existing suppliers in the food packaging area, Detmold Group, was willing to start to pivot their production to make surgical masks. This is a great story of innovation and collaboration and shared risk-taking. And South Australia Health are effectively future-proofing this supply of this critical personal protective equipment. In the process, they and Detmold Group are creating 160 new local jobs. So it's a great story, and I'm glad you could join us today. Pratiksha Becker is South Australian Health's head of supplier relationship management. And this is a great story of how she and the team worked with their suppliers to address this problem of lack of supply locally for surgical masks. Pratiksha, thank you very much for joining us. So glad to have this conversation with you. And I look forward to hearing your story. Victor Perton's infectious optimism is really a good way to start our conversation today because, as I understand it, South Australian Health, as the health body for the government, was responsible for leading the health response to the COVID-19 pandemic. But also you found that within your state, there were certainly issues associated with supply chain. So how did you go about identifying the impact on the supply chain for personal protective equipment?
So we really identified, I think, very early in the piece that PPE would become very critical and we would have to look out for our stock levels. So we started checking all of the items that we felt mm-hmm. could become critical in terms of PPE. So face masks, face shields, gowns, scrubs. There is a whole plethora of products. We also looked at ventilators, of course. And we realized that in order to satisfy the demand, the increased demand, and there was certainly a little bit of panic buying on the side of the hospitals as well to secure for them the level of stocks and not to run out of any product in the long term. So the demand increased substantially. We increased our orders to our contracted suppliers substantially and also looked outside of those suppliers to see who else would be able to support us. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you need to mitigate risk, and hospitals had to look at substituting one product for another. They also had to cope with new products coming in that they hadn't necessarily seen before from new suppliers. And that was certainly not easy, but I think a good opportunity to collaborate and work together.
Yeah, and certainly for a health product, you had to assure yourself that it was going to protect the health workers. So I can understand that. The specification and the testing, it wasn't just a matter of going down to Bunnings and buying something from your local hardware store for a protective mask. It was more this sort of layered mask, as I understand it. So how did you go about finding local capability to manufacture, given that you couldn't rely on overseas suppliers of PPE?
Yes. So when we first, started talking about it, I think many people thought, oh my God, you're never going to manage to put up face mask manufacturing so quickly in out of all places in Adelaide, you know. So we spoke to all of our contracted suppliers and other suppliers with a global presence, of course, and Australian presence as well, if they were interested in helping us to set up a mask manufacturing facility. And we were talking about N95 masks as well as those surgical masks. So we did a very quick procurement process, invited a lot of suppliers to give us a quote, to give us a proposal on how that could work. But we also looked outside the square and thought of other suppliers that we knew in the local market and existing suppliers to see if there was anyone here who would be interested in starting up a new facility. Mm-hmm. And Detmold was one of those companies. Whilst they didn't really know much about mask manufacturing before, nor did we really, they have a global presence. They are South Australian. But they have a global presence, and so they felt quite comfortable and confident that they would be able to come up to speed quickly. That they would be able to utilize their local knowledge, but their global knowledge and contacts as well, to support and set up a manufacturing operation. And they were also the only ones who came up with a proposal and said, yes, we want to help. So, yeah, I think their heart was in the right place. Their drive was there. The passion was there to help South Australia and ultimately also Australia. Mm-hmm. 12 weeks on, we are making masks.
That's an amazing story. So a food packaging company that was one of your, lower tier suppliers in your segmentation has now stepped up and become much more important. And really it sounds like it was because of their willingness also to take the risk and say, well, we haven't done it before, but we think we can create a manufacturing capability. What sort of investment did you make in the relationship or in setting up this capability?
So, of course, we needed to act really, really quickly. Mm-hmm. So the first step was really to secure machines. And they found a supplier or a manufacturer for machines. And of course, it takes some time to make those machines. They didn't have them sitting around waiting. So we made the decision together with our supplier to invest, first of all, into the machines. And right. Then look at basically the next step was then to say, what is the volume that we want to buy? We spoke to the Commonwealth as well. They also decided to give Detmold a contract. I mean, at the end of the day, this needs to be a successful project, but in order to be a successful project, it needs to be viable for all parties. So yeah. So we managed to to negotiate a very good contract, and the volume that we are talking about. So SA Health has ordered 45 million masks for 5 million N95 masks,
mm-hmm.
Or as we will be calling them, or Detmold will be calling them, D95 plus,
right.
And 40 million level 3 masks. So, and the Commonwealth has ordered 100 million masks. So we right. are really talking about substantial volume. We're yep. also talking about a substantial number of machines. So ultimately, I think Detmold will have nearly 20 machines. So in a split between N95 machines and level 3 machines. And we can see that they are really interested in making this a success.
Right. And I'm hearing that if that investment is being made by SA Health and Detmold in setting up the procedures. And maybe I also think you... we're involved with the university setting up a testing facility. This is not just about this current crisis. This is not just about having some masks now for COVID-19. It's future-proofing your supply chain.
Oh, absolutely. So I think very fortunate that as a state, we've looked further than COVID-19, you know. So the Department of Industry is supporting with funding for test equipment for the right. universities. Mm-hmm. Universities said, yes, we want to help. How can we help? What is required?
Mm.
So we have a collaboration between Flinders Uni and Uni SA,
mm-hmm.
and they will be performing different tests to create the full plethora of tests that is required to test face masks.
Mm.
So this capability is still in implementation phase, but we're getting very close, mm. and it is future-proofing us into, I think, for long term, because imported masks can then now also be tested here in Australia, and okay. I think that right. is fantastic.
Yeah.
It is not just to test Detmold masks. We have that testing capability really could probably be expanded at some point also to test other PPE like gowns. You know, they've already started testing face shields for us as well.
Okay.
So,
yep, good.
I think we're coming back to willingness, you know.
Yep. Well, willingness, but also I'm hearing a lot of facilitation. You've brought together an ecosystem of suppliers, probably regulators for the health and safety. You had to get them in country. So I believe you also used or worked with Austrade and the freight forwarders to bring in the equipment and so forth. And you're building that network, which is going to give you that sustainable domestic supply, which is great. Do you think you'll get all of your protective equipment from local supply in the future, or do you think it'll be a mix of onshore and offshore suppliers?
So I think the reality is that probably there will still be a mix. Mm-hmm. I think it's never right to put all the eggs in one basket. And actually, I think that is a learning out of this crisis as well, right? Yeah. So whilst we were dealing with lots of different suppliers, but most of these suppliers that became critical were manufacturing in China. So yes. we did have all our eggs in one basket. It was just a big basket called China. So yes. Mm-hmm. So we still have contracted suppliers, and we will continue to buy from our contracted suppliers, of course, you know.
Yes.
But at the moment, they are not able to supply us with the volumes that we require.
Good. And ensuring that certainty of supply is obviously critical part of your role. You just shared one of the lessons there. Are there other lessons that perhaps our ISCCM members would get from this experience?
So we're really, I think data is really, really important. Knowing your own stock on hand figures, knowing mm-hmm. usage figures in more detail. I guess, you know, we always had a relatively good overview, but we also created easier to read dashboards, you know, better accessible dashboards. And I think
right.
that was very helpful, you know, to also reduce some anxiety levels in terms of how much stock do we have, but also for us to manage our stock levels better. report, you know, to be able to report up and sideways. So I think that was a really important learning. And having a risk assessment of your total supply chain. Because, you know, we often have contracts with our with the local entities of our suppliers. So you sign a contract with a company that's got their Australian headquarters maybe in Sydney or in Melbourne. Yes. Hardly anyone is in Adelaide, of course, but their supply chain is not here. It comes from all sorts of global places. And I think understanding that better is certainly another learning. So that's really the supply chain side. But I think also working more in a matrix style organization, you know, we've changed the way we operated. It wasn't, you know, in streams going downwards. There was a lot of matrix conversation. And I think that was very helpful. And of course, you know, through that procurement certainly earned their spot at the executive table.
Great. Great story. I'm looking at you now and you're smiling and I'm thinking, well, what makes you optimistic, Patricia?
I think we are exceptionally fortunate here in this country. And I think we've had really good leadership Australia-wide, in South Australia. You know, we've had really great leadership. Our numbers are, you know, we have one case at the moment. So gone into the right direction. I think it makes me optimistic that we can be proud of of the people in this country, you know. But it also makes me optimistic that we are changing our views and we are going to hopefully have some learnings out of this and build up manufacturing in Australia again and support our own country and create jobs and create a new future. And I think that is certainly something to be very optimistic about.
Yeah, wonderful. Something to be proud of as well. So to South Australian Health, I know it's, you would tell me it's not all you. You've been part of a team that's
delivered on this.
But no, certainly for us in procurement and contract management to have that role and to be able to produce not only an immediate response, but also something for the future is fabulous. So Pratiksha, I thank you very much for sharing your story. Thank you everybody for joining us on this Optimism Cafe podcast. And if you have good news stories, please let us know because we do want to share them. But on behalf of all of our members that are listening to this podcast, Pratiksha, please thank her. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And I think we all need to be optimistic together.
We will indeed. Thank you again.